You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1448.
At first, I used to do a lot of freestyling talking. And when you do a lot of freestyling, you're kind of like just going off what you think. You can get deals that way, but it's not efficient. It's definitely, you can't duplicate it. It's hard to teach someone else. So, you know, I wasn't nervous talking to people, but I always knew that if I can just get the blueprint and the guide of what to say, when to say it, game over. It's game over.
Yeah.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
After this podcast, you are going to be so inspired and fired up to go out there and find an incredible deal. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this. Let's jump right in. Eugene Lotson III from the DMV Maryland area. Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, guys?
I'm excited for this. This is going to be absolutely incredible. You are doing something that I've never heard before and really pushing the limits of what you can get done in a day when it comes to working with property owners. But before we get into that, why real estate? Why be a real estate investor? We've got so many other opportunities in the world. We're smart. We're capable. We've got a fire in our belly. Why do you want to do real estate? Or why are you doing real estate?
Well, real estate for me, I originally started off, I was wrestling. I wrestled in college and I was actually wanting to be an attorney, defense attorney for law at University of Buffalo. Shout out Buffalo guys. And once wrestling kind of didn't work out for me the way I wanted it to, I came back to Maryland. And then after that, my girlfriend at the time, she's my fiance now, soon to be wife. We went to the Wealth Fit, where you go for like a day, then you go for the 3 days, the Than Mural one. And then after we joined the little course, not the $20,000 one, the one where you actually just think it's like $600. And then you go in and then we learned it was, and I was in college at the time. I was a junior in college. And then we did like the virtual course. And then they mentioned wholesaling. So after we did the course for like 8 weeks or something like that, didn't learn too much, at least not this piece of it. Like they didn't go in depth with it. Got in tune with like Max Maxwell and looking at his stuff. And then eventually he mentioned you, Brent Daniels. He was like, because you helped him with his callers and his scripts and stuff like that. So I remember when my fiance was girlfriend at the time, was pregnant with our son. I was in the bathroom at the hospital when she was like laying down before she gives birth, practicing my TTP script, like practicing in the bathroom. I had my laptop practicing my TTP script. And I remember we got like some tax refund money. I took like my piece of it and I just dumped it in trying to get into the Rhino tribe. Like I just was like, this is where I'm meant to be. This is the path I want to go, because for me, I can control my schedule. I'm the type of person where I don't like to be told what to do. I really dislike a job. Like I have a W-2. I make great income from my W-2, but I always resonated when you said this W-2 is just to keep the bills paid and the family. But my heart, my love is real estate, because I can control my schedule. I can spend the time with the people I love and I get to provide a ton of value to the marketplace and get paid incredibly for it. So that's why I chose real estate. It gives me the freedom of schedule I want to have. And it gives me just a glimpse of what life really has to offer at the highest level. So, you know, that's the reason I chose real estate. It can give me the time.
I love it. Did your girlfriend, fiance, soon to be wife support this?
Yeah, absolutely. We were supposed to do wholesaling together. And once she got pregnant, she was handling the kids and stuff, but she would come driving for dollars with me, just sitting there. I'm looking at the left, she's looking at the right, and we're just cleaning up house, you know? That was our time of spending time together when I was in college.
Explain to people that have just never heard of what driving for dollars is, and explain what that means.
It just means you get in your car, you go in a neighborhood or the home median price of the city you want to drive in, and you look for the ugliest houses really, to even put it in simpler terms, a simplistic version, when you look at it, your eyes are like, oof. Like, it's like, oh my God, like, oof. Like, it makes you chill. You're going to know when you see it because you're like, what is going on with that house? You want to talk to that owner because that's where the money's at. And
yeah, listen, wholesaling is solving the problems of property owners. Property owners have personal problems with their property. And one of the biggest problems they have is upkeep. Like, people don't understand that houses, property, they are like living things. You know what I mean? Not really. I mean, they're not sentient, but they, you know what I mean? You have to keep them up. You have to make sure that the roof's good and the windows are good and people aren't breaking into it and breaking into the walls and taking care of everything. And things have to be updated on a regular basis. Anybody that's a property owner understands this. I don't have to give a lecture on it. But when you see a property that is in distress, because of the condition, there's an assumption that you can make that, listen, this property owner has a personal problem with this property. So how can we get in front of that property owner, have a quality conversation, and see if they would consider an offer on that property, see if they're ready to solve that problem by just selling it and getting rid of it. That's exactly what you guys did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
right?
Yes, sir.
It's not rocket science.
No.
So let me ask you this. Your first conversations with property owners, did you feel okay? Did you see, I mean, naturally you have wonderful charisma. You have a great personality. You know what I mean? Did you feel fine? You were just like, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone and go. Or were you kind of like, you know, a little bit on Bambi legs? You know what I mean?
It was actually option. You know, I started off, I always loved public speaking. Public speaking was one of those things that came natural for me.
Yeah.
But anyone who's a good speaker will tell you this, just because you're naturally good at it. And I came from a sports background. Just because you're naturally good, God gifted, you still are rough around the edges. You still need to fine tune, sharpen that sword. You need to, you know. So that's why I said with your script, what it did for me, it took that gift of gab and it just lined it right up right there. Yeah. So now it just makes it a lot easier for me. But talking to people, at first I used to do a lot of freestyling talking. And when you do a lot of freestyling, you're kind of like just going off what you think. You can get deals that way, but it's not efficient. It's definitely, you can't duplicate it. It's hard to teach someone else. So, you know, I wasn't nervous talking to people, but I always knew that if I can just get the blueprint and the guide of what to say, when to say it, game over. It's game over.
Yeah. Well, and listen, you know, you only have a certain amount of time to make people feel comfortable, right? We use that with the ways to open that up. A conversation is using your tone of voice. Mm-hmm. Having some enthusiasm, having some conviction about what you do, you know, mirroring and matching, you know, you're not getting too crazy with somebody off the bat if they're really soft spoken and vice versa. You're not speaking real soft if somebody is loud and has a lot of energy. And so it truly is a skill, and it's a skill that you build through reps. I don't care if you were the, you know, most popular person voted, most popular person, you know, in your school or whatever else, when it comes to speaking with strangers, essentially, about selling their property, you have to build up those skills. And the only way to do that is get on the phone and do it. You've broken the record. And I mentioned it before. In one day, you talked to how many property owners?
170.
170 different property owners. Yes, sir. You called them up and asked them if they would consider an offer on their property.
Yes. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And how'd it turn out?
So I have an appointment on Friday, and then I ran into another pre-foreclosure, really nice lady. I'm going to looking to help her out. She's still in the follow-ups, but I just generated those, you know, on the weekend. So really two great opportunities. Really two great
opportunities. In one day. How long did it take you?
It took me, I was on a dollar for about 10 hours. About 10 hours.
And so you called for 10 hours, mm-hmm. and what day was it?
It was either, I believe, Sunday. It was Sunday because I started at like 7:30, like 7:30.
It was a Sunday?
Yeah, it was like a Sunday.
So you got how many kids? Two kids?
Yes, sir.
Under 4 years old?
Yes, sir.
And you get the whole Sunday off to make calls?
I mean, it's a little different when I, like, when my kids are here. Like, even today, I was in a virtual office making calls when my kids were here. My fiance went to the store, and, you know, when I'm home with the kids, they act way different than I am with mom. So it's like, it's not really a factor for me. Like, you know, I kind of got a system with them at this point where it's kind of like, I can pretty much go the day and they're really not much of a, not much of an issue.
So there, you're calling from home.
Yeah, I'm calling.
It's not like you have to go, you know, somewhere secluded and hide away.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So your kids are seeing you doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact,
isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, when my son was younger, I used to put him on my lap with a pillow and rock him to sleep while making phone calls.
Oh, I love it.
Like, yeah.
Well, listen, before your oldest was born, you're doing it at the hospital.
Yeah.
You're practicing your scripts at the hospital. I love this. Absolutely incredible. So, I mean, what's the big goal with this? Because, you know, wholesaling is kind of like the first step in. It's the gateway that opens up some other opportunities. You see a lot of people either just build a wholesaling business where that's what they do, like what I do, or you see people go, okay, I'm going to use this to build a resume, to go raise, one, to have my own funds to put into it, but also raise funds from other people that want to be passive in their real estate investing, and then maybe get into flips or get into some development or get into, you know, some buy and hold and building the portfolio. So what's your vision for your company?
Yeah, so my vision for the company specifically, my big overall goal is to pretty much get a tremendous amount of income. My first goal is to drive myself to $250,000 a year. That's the goal.
Yep.
Second, once I get to that goal from being extremely proactive, hitting my numbers, taking some of that income, not going crazy with it, just taking that money, reinvesting some in back in data, bringing a lot of it back home, and then taking some of that extra money residual. And as on the investment side, I prefer to put my money in like insurance policies, so I can lend against them so they can gain interest for money that I'm not even going to touch anyway. So that's what I want to do. And then also to take that money and eventually lend it out. Like, I like your model where you're saying, you know, be the bank, be the lender. I really like that model a lot. And I just lend it out at, you know, 10 to 12% eventually and just build up that pipeline.
Real estate is the best. It just gives you so many opportunities, especially if you don't have a huge budget getting into it. If you just put in the effort as opposed to the budget, you're going to win. You are. The more people you talk to, the more offers you make, the more opportunities you're going to find. And the more opportunities you're going to find, the more value you can bring to the marketplace. That's it. We're there to solve the problems of both sides. The seller, right? They want to get rid of this property as smooth and as easy as possible. And the cash buyer, they're looking for these properties. They're looking for opportunities to either add to their portfolio or fix and flip or, yeah, that's basically it. Or wholesale themselves sometimes. And we solve that problem by getting in and bringing everybody together and getting that transaction done. I absolutely love it. And then from there, we get to see what happens. You get to see, okay, this buyer is working with that lender. And I asked them, how did you raise money to do these flips? And then they told me, and I said, is there any paperwork that I need to have? And they go, yeah, it looks like this. Now you have all the paperwork. Now you have kind of like an in-town mentor showing you how to like run your numbers on a flip. And now you could go do flips if you want.
Yep.
Now you could go talk to the hard money guy and go, hey, listen, how do you do this business? Do you build a relationship and a reputation and you have that great personality like you? Every door's open.
Absolutely.
Every door's open.
I agree.
Do you think that you got confidence from so many years of competing?
Actually, I'd say it comes from... I'm the middle child. I have a younger brother. Shout out to Tim.
You know, what up, Tim?
Yeah, shout out to my brother, Tim. And I have a younger brother, Cameron. But the reason I say that is I think when you grow up as a middle child sometimes, and it's just me, you know, we all were in sports. It was mostly combat. It was wrestling, MMA, boxing. Those are the three. And we would kind of just go triple threat of, you know, who would win. Now, mind you, my older brother was a really big motivator for me to always push the heights. He was just being a big brother. And I always remember that I think he created a hyper competitive nature in me that just that kept that motor going. Like there are times like if I'm working out or if I'm doing calls, I can sometimes think about him and it would push me to go even harder. Like it could be a workout. I'm dead, dog tired and I could think about him and then it would push me to another gear. I would go to a gear that I didn't think I had. If I didn't think I had anymore, I would think about him. And then it would get me to that X point. It was like that in wrestling. It was like that in boxing. And he's not in real estate, but the motivation is still there. Because I'm the only one in my family that's actually in real estate doing it like this. But I still use that. And I think over time, just confidence came from me putting in the reps, putting in the work, And then my mom as well, she always kind of told me like, Gene, no matter what you do, you're going to be good at it. I hope. She used to say it like this. Exactly. I verbatim. Just because we're on TTP, I'm going to say it. Gene, whether you do something, whether you choose to be a law-abiding citizen or you rather choose to be a good citizen, you're going to be good at whatever you do. And I remember her telling me that. So I chose the right side. But I remember her doing that. And also to my grandmother, they always used to say, you can do whatever you put your mind to. So at a very young age, they kind of was breeding me to kind of like just strive for excellence and then show me through example. So then over time, it just became second nature. It just was like, I'm not coming for second place. I'm coming for first. I'm not coming to lose. I'm coming to win. I'm not coming to be anybody's second place. I'm not going to be in no one's shadow. So I think that's where it came from. I think it was just the upbringing altogether, plus just a motor I may have developed over.
Well, and people don't realize this, but I've had family members. I've had really great friends that were collegiate wrestlers at ASU here, and nobody pushes their body and mind harder than a collegiate wrestler. Nobody. It's not even, and people don't get it, but it is brutal, absolutely brutal. So just going through that, I mean, obviously conversations is not, it's not a physical thing. It's it's more of a mental side, but if you do hard things, you're going to have a stronger mindset. You're going to have a stronger mindset. And I can't imagine all of the weight cutting and the wrestling every single day and the exhaustion and the do you make the top slot? How are you doing in this? I mean, this tournament, all of that leads you to just being so powerful. I mean, just so powerful as an entrepreneur. What about Cameron? What's Cameron doing?
Yeah.
I mean, Tim's laying the groundwork down, but what's Cameron up to?
My younger brother, he's actually getting ready to go to culinary school, work his way up to get his own restaurant. I have no doubt about it. I think he's going to do some real special things. I've been trying forever also to get him in real estate, but he's like, Gene, I don't know, man. I see what you do, man. And that's work. And for me, it doesn't feel like work. I feel like, hey, look, I just got to sit down and talk to people, make offers. And then before you know it, a check comes. Like it's eventually, sooner or later, you know, follow up with them and eventually you get income. So it doesn't feel like that. But
well, listen, most people have never talked to had real conversations with 170 people. Maybe in a month, maybe in a year, maybe in a lifetime. You did it in like one day. You did it in 12 hours, 13 hours. Like the thought of that for most people, I can feel people right now that are listening to this in their car. They're listening to it, you know, at the gym. And they're like, oh my gosh, 100, being on the phone for 13 hours, just calling people. Oh, that seems like so daunting. But you got two great opportunities from it. You know what I mean? What else can you do in this world where you can spend time building a skill, where you get on the phone, you make calls, you talk to enough people, and then all of a sudden you find these opportunities to get discounted real estate? It's incredible. Absolutely incredible, man. I love it. That's a new record. People are going to be coming for you.
Yeah.
You know that now.
I'm still going.
As soon as the podcast comes out, the Rhino Tribe's going to be coming for
you. Soon as I already was about to do 110 today. So, you know, I think that minimum, you know, yesterday I did 118. So 100 isn't even, you know, it's kind of,
incredible motor. Yeah. Listen, in our group, in the Rhino Tribe, we have office hours. In the virtual office, I should say, where people are getting together and they're making calls and they're supporting each other. And you're in there just really helping out a lot of people. So that's awesome. So, well, let's break down a deal then, right?
Absolutely.
Let's break down. You have a deal you want to break down and we'll pull it apart and see how you found it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got the lead from flipfinder.ai.
Yep.
It was a tax delinquent list that I pulled with the criteria of TTP. And then pretty much I was making calls. Matter of
fact, what's the criteria? It's not a secret.
Criteria is home median price. In my area, home median price for Prince George's County is $440,000. So you take the $440,000 and put it on the max side of where it says home value. Put $40,000 or $20,000 in there. 2,000 square feet or less. 2,000 square feet or less, built for before 1990. It was 1992, I believe, something like that. And then I think that was it. I believe that was it. I think I kept that list rather broad because I wanted to talk to as many people as possible and get like a big.
Is it a specific county, specific city, a specific area?
Prince George's County, Maryland. So in Left Farm, you can choose a county. So I chose Prince George's County, Maryland. But if let's just say your city is Apple Banana City, you can use the same filters. Just understand that your list is going to be a little smaller. I like the county because I can get a much wider reach, more records.
Yeah.
So I pulled the whole county for Prince George's County, Maryland, and I used the tax delinquent filters. And then from there, I was calling. That day, I did 105 contacts. And I didn't mean to do 105 contacts. It just happened because I was in the virtual office having a great time with George and Damola and everybody, Abdul, everybody. And it just happened. On the 90th contact, I got a hold of Bobby. He was in a situation where mother and father passed away, but the property also hasn't went through probate, but it was tax delinquent. He called. He said, hey, I said, this script. Hey, my name's Eugene. I know this calls out the blue. I was calling about a property on 123 Main Street. Would you consider an offering your property there? He said, yes. One of the six responses. And then he just kind of let it. And then we went through the progression, condition, timeline, motivation, price. And then once he told me what happened, he said the property didn't go through probate. Now, this is a strategy that I do. If someone hasn't went through probate, and I know my probate process like the back of my hand, like in my sleep. Because when I was driving for dollars, I got my first deal, first two deals that had to go through probate. So I learned them. I learned the process. So I said, hey, this is rather challenging experience for you, but I'm actually an expert at this specific situation. I can walk you through the process and I'll actually pay for your probate costs and I'll go with you to the courthouse and I'll make sure everything gets submitted. I'll pay the bond and everything. So I ended up getting the contract locked up on the phone. Once I got it locked up over the phone, on the Zoom, by the way, with everyone watching, I got the contract. And then once I got the contract, I went to go see it. Once I went to go see it, it actually had mold in certain areas and stuff like that. I was still in a position to make some money already, probably around $15,000. But then I was like, okay, I need to probably, because there might be some more issues underlying that I might not know. So then when we were there, we built some more rapport, built a great relationship. And then I actually took him to the courthouse eventually, And we went through that. I took off work that day. And we went to the courthouse. I went to the Registry of Wills. We sat in the line. We got all the paperwork done. Then we went to the bond office. I paid the bond. We were walking up and down the street trying to find the bond office. It was like in this little compartment. Like it was a day. We got there at like 8 o'clock in the morning when it first opened up. We didn't leave until like 3 o'clock. And by the time we left that day, he was appointed personal representative that day. And once he was personal representative, it molded our contract. And then from there, submitted everything to the title company. But before I submitted to the title company, the rest of the stuff, I did go to him and say, hey, I'm going to need this slightly lower. And I renegotiated, you know, because the house actually had like a little foundation. It was like leaning a little bit that neither one of us knew. So he understood. And my buyer went to go view it. He actually gave me the keys to the house so the buyer can go view it, right? And then from there, I came back to the courthouse because I actually left him at the courthouse while he was still filling stuff out to get the key to show to the buyer, drove back to the courthouse. And then after that, we signed up. I sent a redacted contract to the title company and pretty much they were setting up the closing and everything, getting all like the certificates and everything all in. And then that's what happened. But I walked in.
How long? That's incredible. How long was the property vacant?
It was vacant. Technically, he was living there, actually.
Oh, he was in there.
Yeah, he was living there. He was actually living there when his parents, he was taking care of his mom because his mom was in hospice. So she was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So he was taking care of that. And so pretty much when I called him, he was living there. So, you know, but he couldn't keep up with the payments, couldn't keep up with the bills and stuff. So it was just. It was just a lot going on and he didn't know what to do for the probate process. So when I told him, hey, I can give you the white glove treatment, you worry about nothing. That was all he needed.
So his mom was still alive?
His mom passed away in the house. He was taking care of her, so she passed away. Yep.
And then he was still living in the house.
Yes, sir.
And the property was going to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And then where did he move?
He moved pretty much ended up getting an apartment in the area. Because he just couldn't.
He didn't want to just live in the house?
No, the basement actually had mold. So it was getting to a point where it was kind of unlivable and things of that nature where he was like, yeah. Look. And he also, he made the decision he wanted to sell. The biggest part, he made the decision
that he wanted
to sell, which is the most important thing. So yeah, that's what it ended up kind of.
So then what did you lock it up for? What'd you sell it for?
211. And then we sold it for 282.
282?
282.
So what'd you net in your pocket?
71,000.
Come on, man.
Sir.
$71,000. Listen, the expertise that you have in that probate process made that deal so much smoother for you and for them. I mean, that's what I mean for everybody involved. $71,000.
Sir.
What happened to your brain when you see that in your account?
It broke, like you said it would. It broke. But I also, there was a part of me that knew, there was a part of me deep down that knew if I pound 100 contacts consistently, the world won't deny me. Like if I just, and I look at it like this, if I look at like, I'm going to take it to be great, not just asking, I'm going to go take what I want instead of asking for it. My mentality was like, look, you can sit here all day and kind of hope and try and try and. For me, a mental break happened where I was like, I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm going to take it. So I was just like, I'm hitting these contacts and eventually opportunities will come. It's impossible. I won't fail. Like, it's just impossible. Like,
that's it.
I don't see it.
That's the best part about this business. If you talk to enough people, you'll win.
Yeah.
That's it. Either they're going to call you or you're going to call them. It just depends on what your budget is for that. Mm-hmm. Just depends on what your, well, it really depends on your budget, your schedule, your experience level in your market, right?
Yeah.
And it's different for everybody. Everybody has a different blueprint that they should be working off of based on their specific scenario. But you coming in, you didn't have experience in real estate. You didn't have a huge budget. Your schedule was certainly not wide open for this. You know, you've got kids, you got W-2, you got a fiance, you got all these things. And so, you know, when it was time for you to, you know, find opportunities, you went, man. I mean, you just put your foot on the gas and went and found those opportunities. I love it. Absolutely love it. So talk to everybody getting started. Give some sage wisdom because, I mean, this has been, I mean, we've been talking for what, 4 years?
Yep. Yep.
About right?
Years. Yep.
Since 2020.
Yeah. Around.
And we've been working together since then. So, I mean, what advice would you give people that are just getting started in this business?
Take it from someone who still has a W-2 and they're still part-time. And when you eventually get there, like full-time, focus on one thing. For me, I was driving for dollars for a very long time before I even went heavy cold calling. I was driving for dollars. I learned that so well that I can do it today and figure out in any market how to figure it out. Like learn that. And then learn your method and stay consistent with it. There was a lead on my driving for dollars. I followed up with him for a year and a half. A year and a half of follow-up every week on the week, you know, until I got that deal. And then there was another driving for dollars where it took me 9 months. I followed up with her every Thursday, right?
Yeah.
But when those deals happened, they were nice-sized deals. So me, I recommend driving for dollars if you don't have a large budget. Get out there, beat the streets, and cold call those people. I start off hand-dialing those people. And eventually when I had enough money, I started doing a dialer, but get those addresses and start calling people. Or if you don't have that, do a true people search, but do something. Yep. Also too, I'd recommend do it as a group, do it with a community. I went so long, not with like a group, a tribe. And I was on an island. I felt like, man, I don't have people that think like me. It was like, I'm doing the work, but the work don't seem as good because it's just me. I'm not laughing, getting jokes off. It's just like, But in my opinion, once I started getting back into the virtual office and getting around people who are pushing for goals too, maybe even more, and everyone's just doing things. I mean, it just turns your gear, kind of breaks your brain a little bit. And you're like, man, cold calling don't even feel like cold calling no more. Doing the work don't even feel like anymore. You feel like you're just doing it with your friends. You know, George, Abdul, Stephanie, Jay, all those guys, Brandon, all those guys. Shout out to the virtual office.
Mike. Yeah.
Mike, right?
Everybody in there. It's awesome. You know, I used to connect with this guy, Luke Rotvold, who's phenomenal, who's just built a huge business for himself. And he would play video games.
Madden.
And I would be on call. I mean, I would just be making my calls and we would like be FaceTiming on our computer. And it was before Zoom was really a big thing. And it just helps. Or we would be in the same room. We'd connect on one day. We'd just go sit in each other's living rooms or, you know, find some random office to make calls from. And every time we did, it was way more fun. And we always got deals. It was like this weird thing. It was almost like I had to prove that I can get deals to be around him and him the same being around me. And it had nothing to do with like, I'm going to make more than you or competing. It might be a little competitive. It might be a little bit. But most of it was just like, it just felt like the synergy and the energy and the vibration. I don't know. I mean, I could get woo-woo here if I want, but you really feel it. I mean, step number one is find your tribe. Step number two is do your first deal. Step number three, do enough deals to replace your income. Step number four, replace yourself. That's the steps in this game. And then from there, you buy all the assets or get into buying insurance policies or lending money or whatever else it is to really build the long-term wealth. But get rich first. And the best way to do that is get around people that have the same goal. It's awesome.
I agree.
Eugene, how can people reach out to you?
I'm not really super big on social media. So, sure. You know, you can reach out. My phone number, 301-541-7752. If you have anything in the DMV that you may need help on selling or maybe need help with talking to a seller or anything, feel free to reach out. Very available, you know, but that's probably the best way. And I'm also in the
room. Giving out the phone number. Watch out. Here it comes, bro. That's awesome. What a great go-giver. Thank you, Eugene. You're absolutely incredible. Shout out to Tim and Cameron as well.
Shout out to my fiance. She has been a tremendous partner. I couldn't be any happier. Even now, if you hear my kids, she's the one holding down the fort right now.
Yep.
So it really helps when you have somebody who believes in you and believes in the vision and they really can really allow you to just go all in and really just get your back. So I couldn't be any happier or luckier to have her in my life. She has a tremendous impact of where I am today. So, you know.
What's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Shout out, Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany. You're making our whole industry better.
Absolutely.
Awesome, Eugene. Thank you for being on here. Guys, reach out. Especially if you're in Maryland, if you're in the DMV area, squat up. It's so important to be around people doing amazing things. And if you follow Eugene's example, you will win. And that's it. Thank you guys for joining us for another podcast episode. Remember, it's all about your budget, your schedule, your experience, and your market. If you need some help with that, if you really want a custom blueprint based on those four factors, go to wholesalinginc.com, check it out, check out the Rhino Tribe, get on a call with us, and we'll break that all down so that you have a plan for you as soon as possible. So check that out, and that's it. I am Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, and as always, I encourage you to go out there and talk to people. Love you. See you next time.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.